You know, I'm very well aware that the past year or two has certainly been hard for everyone. I don't think anyone has missed out on the stresses that have come about because of the lockdowns and the restrictions that we're going through. And today's message could be for really anybody or all of us. But I do believe that, you know, reflecting and talking to various people, that probably at this time, one group of people that have probably struggled more than anyone would be the mothers in our church and mothers in general. It's been extra hard time for mums, I do believe. And so what I thought I'd do is skip looking at Samuel today. I just felt led to do something different and have a message for mothers. And I should start by saying that the verses that we're going to be looking at today weren't directly, they weren't specifically directed towards mothers. And what that means is it doesn't matter if you're a mother or a father or a child or an adult or living by yourself or whatever it may be, you can apply these verses to your circumstances as well. All right, it doesn't really matter in that regard. But there's no doubt that what God says through his servant Paul can apply to both mothers and motherhood. And if you know your Bible, you'll know that God called Paul to be an evangelist and go from city to city preaching the word of God. And that was what God had called him to do. But the fact is, we're not all called to share the gospel and be evangelists going from city to city. But the reality is, we're all called by God to do specific things. And that can vary in different ways. We have responsibilities within our local church. And the passages that we're going to look at today can help you when you're serving in the local church. We have responsibilities as citizens of Australia as well, and they can apply there. And we also have responsibilities within our individual families. Dads and fathers have responsibilities. Children have responsibilities, and also certainly mums have various responsibilities. And what I want to look at today can be applied to all of us, regardless if you're a mother or not, as I said. But I want to look at what God says with mothers specifically in mind. So if you're a mum, this can be a message for you today. If you're not a mum, well, then you apply it to your circumstances. And what I want you to do is turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I'm going to have a look at some verses from here and in Corinthians. So please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And what I want you to see, first of all, is that God can use you. Despite how you feel, despite how inadequate you may feel in yourself or what you're going through at the moment, and people may say, how are you feeling? And if you were honest, you'd say, I feel this and this and this, and they're not all positive things. But despite how you feel, I want you to know that God can still use you. Have a look here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 to 29. We read this. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world, and things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. And so we are told here that God chooses to take the most unlikely vessels and use them to fulfill his purposes. And he likes to take the most unlikely vessels and do that so that, as it says there, no flesh should glory in his presence. Everyone will know that what they have achieved is of God and God's doing and not their own. And there are three key words here that I want to highlight where we see that God delights using. God delights using people who are weak, who are foolish and base to do his work. Now, please, mums, don't get upset when I say I'm referring that to you, and you'll see what I'm meaning as I go on there. But mothers, the good news is to know, you can know that to fulfill your responsibilities as a mother and to bring glory to the Lord, what you see here, you don't have to be strong. You don't have to be wise, and you don't have to be important in order for God to do great things through you. In fact, God loves taking mothers who are the opposite to this, and he loves showing his greatness through them. And that should be good news, because in my experience, when talking to mothers, motherhood is a very sensitive thing, and talking about them, because most mums try and put on a good front, but inside they feel exactly like what I just talked about here, weak, foolish and base. You feel it on the inside, even though you don't want to express it to others. Let me explain. I know that a lot of times mothers feel weak. Lots of mothers feel physically weak and absolutely exhausted. You know, the baby's been crying for hours during the night, then there's the feeding, and then there's feeling sleep deprived, and you do feel physically weak and physically tired. And then there's the responsibilities of a mother in the home, and there seems to be so much, and everything seems to be building up, and at times you can feel absolutely overwhelmed. And I know that some mums, they go through periods where they feel totally exhausted and totally overwhelmed. And then there are other mothers who feel constantly like this. That is their normal feeling. And the Lord has a beautiful verse, or a couple of verses, for you mums who do feel weak. And you don't feel like you are physically able to do the things that you're expected to do as a mother. And if you turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verses 9 and 10, these are verses for anybody. But mums, you apply this to you. This is what the Apostle Paul said about himself. And it's the same for each one of us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 9 it says, "And he said unto me," this is Jesus speaking to the Apostle Paul, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness," he says. So Paul then goes on to say, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities," my weaknesses, "that the power of Christ may rest upon me." And he says, "Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak," Paul says, "then am I strong." And why is he strong? Because God says, "I want to take you as a weak person, and I'm going to use you and give you the strength to do what I want you to do, regardless of how you feel." And so, mums, you have a gracious, merciful Savior who wants to help you, who wants to show his greatness through you. And when he sees you weak and full of infirmities, when he sees you sick, when he sees you tired, when he sees you emotional, when he sees you feeling overwhelmed with the situations that you are faced with, then he wants to be able to show you how strong he is in helping you. Now, how does he do that? What does that look like? Don't know if you heard that. Someone didn't turn their phone on silent. It's only me. What does it look like? Well, the thing is, that basket of washing isn't, God's not going to miraculously do it. You wake up and it's washed all of a sudden. And that meal that needs to be cooked, you're not going to walk in the kitchen and discover that it's been cooked miraculously. That's not what God is going to do. But often when you are feeling overwhelmed and full of tiredness, you can focus on things that in the end don't really matter, and you lose sight of the big picture. That's what I want to encourage you with. The Lord may not miraculously cook the meal and do the washing and those sort of things, but he will miraculously give you the strength so that you can be a God-fearing wife and mother who loves her family during these times of feeling overwhelmed. And that's far more important than any washing getting done or any food being cooked. And when you look back in later years, if you lean on the Lord, you're going to look at that situation and think, how did I get that washing done? How did I get how did I feed the family every day? How did I get through that? And you're not even going to really know how you're able to do that, but the reality is God got you through it. And you may not feel as though you were very godly while you're doing it. You may not feel godly, but God was working in and through you at that time because he loves to take the weak and he loves to show himself mighty through that. And so if you feel like you're fumbling your way through life at the moment and life is chaos, God is able to do wonderful things even though you feel like it's a big mess when you call upon him for help. And so if you feel weak as a mother, then you have God's permission to pray and ask him for his grace, that is, his divine enabling to help you through this time and for him to show himself mighty when you feel weak. So can I just remind you, God loves using the weak. If you feel weak, God wants to show himself mighty through you. But I also know that there are times when mothers feel foolish. Now, I don't know one mother that's ever said, I am such a fool, all right? So I'm not going to say that. But plenty of mothers, although they won't say that, they will admit to feeling as though they don't have a clue what they're meant to do in lots of ways. They certainly don't feel like an expert. They get a baby, and then your husband goes back to work and you're left with this child and you're very nervous and you're unsure what to do and there is so much to learn and you feel as though you know nothing. And then you begin to learn how to feed and you begin to learn various things that you're meant to do and you start to think you know what you're doing, and then your child moves on to the next stage of a toddler and then there's a whole bunch of new things to learn and you don't know what to do then. And then before you know it, that little child is a teenager and all the things that you have learnt don't apply to now that they're a teenager, and you feel as though you don't know what to do again. You feel like an unlearned person. And then in the mix of all of that, usually there's another child come along and they are completely different to the one that you thought you knew how to deal with. And so when you thought, okay, I know what to do when they're little, another one comes along and they're very different. They don't feed like the other one did. They don't sleep like the other one did. They have different personalities and different needs. They are easier in some ways and they're harder in others. And you feel like you don't know anything again. And the reality is every child is different and has different needs and different circumstances, and you will be faced with different things all the time. And you can feel very overwhelmed that you don't know what you're doing. There are so many variables. Not one child is the same. They are unique and their requirements will be always changing. And sometimes mothers feel foolish in that regard. The good news is God loves to use fools to show his wisdom. That's the good news. But also that other word that is used is base. I do know that mums sometimes feel base, that is unimportant. Not every mother feels like this, and so I don't want to just say it's for every mother, but there are times when that is the reality for a lot of mums. After the excitement of having a baby and feeling special and excited to becoming a mother and having this wonderful responsibility and the blessing of caring for your own child, after that all sort of melts away when you're feeling very tired and overwhelmed, you can start to feel that excitement disappear. And some can start to feel unimportant. Everybody is out doing exciting things in the world, and you're at home wiping a baby's bottom, which doesn't seem that exciting after a while. And then you get asked by someone randomly that you meet, do you work? And you would like to say, my word, I work. I work far harder than my husband, I'll tell you that. You like to say that, but you feel like, well, no, I'm just a stay-at-home mum. As though unless you're getting paid to do something, it's not real work. And you don't feel as important as maybe the lady who could say, oh, yes, I'm an accountant, or I run a hair salon or something like that. You're just a stay-at-home mum. Now, I, for one, don't think like that. But I do know that's how some mothers feel. Some mothers feel like they are base or unimportant. And if I was asked to a show of hands, now it wouldn't help because I can't see any of you anyway, but if I was to ask for a show of hands of mums who are watching today, put up your hand if there have been times when you feel weak or foolish or base as a mother, or do you feel like that all the time? I'm pretty sure that all mums would put up their hand and say, there have been times when I felt like that. Maybe some of you would put up your hand and say, I feel like that most of the time. And if you would put up your hand if I was to ask that question, well, I do have good news. Because you're the type of mother that God wants to show his power through. That's what that passage is talking about. So that people won't look at you and say, well, it's obvious why they're such a great mother. Look at them. They're so strong and important and wise. But they'll look at you and say, wow, they must have a great God. Because in all the turmoil and all the struggle, and we know how tired and overwhelmed they are, God is able to still get them through those times. And that's when God is glorified. Because let's stop and think of this for a moment. If the Apostle Paul went to an evangelist convention, right? Not that there were them around. And he was in the midst, in the audience, and the preacher said, put up your hand if as an evangelist you feel weak and foolish and overwhelmed and base. You know, put up your hand if you feel like that. The Apostle Paul would have put up his hand because that's how he felt most of the time as he ministered the Word of God. But regardless of this, we learn that God was able to use Paul, just like he's able to use a mother, even if she feels weak, unwise, and unimportant. Despite how you feel, or maybe how you truly are, God can still do wonderful things through you, Mum. He takes pleasure in using the weak and the foolish and the base. So that's the first thing I want to encourage you with. It doesn't matter how you feel. In fact, if you feel like that, God says, that's where I want you, so I can bring glory to myself. But the next thing that follows on from that is, you need God's power for him to do those things, not man's wisdom. You see, Paul didn't rely on his abilities to see God do the work that he had been called to do. He didn't look at the philosophers of his day and then model himself on them because they seemed to be so successful and try to do it their way. No, he relied on the power of God in his life. If you look in chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians, in chapter 2, he says there in verse 1, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined to know, not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And get this, verse 3, and I was with you in weakness. All right, in weakness. And in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Paul understood that the ministry that God had called him to was a spiritual ministry. And he was ministering to the souls of men and women. And if God didn't do his work, then all the sacrifices and the efforts and the time that he put into it would be a complete waste of time. And for you mums, I know there is a lot of practical things that you have to do day in, day out. But please don't forget the reality that you have a spiritual ministry to your children as well. They are souls, eternal souls. Their bodies, as much as you try to care for them and keep them warm and feed them and protect them and all that, those bodies will one day lay in the grave. But their soul will last forever. And you have a spiritual ministry to them. And like it or not, the fact is, your children are natural born sinners. And they will sin and act like sinners until the day they die unless God does a miracle in their soul. But if God gets hold of them and he makes them a new creature in them, then you will see changes that you could never bring about yourself. But unless God does that work in your child's soul, they will be ungodly. To what extent may depend on the circumstances they have and the surroundings they find themselves in, but regardless if their behavior is acceptable in your sight or not, they will be godless beings unless God does a miracle in them. And mums, you can change nappies, but you can't change your child's soul. You can take your children's dirty hands and you can wash them, but you can't cleanse their mind. You can change their dirty clothes. You can make them change their dirty clothes, but you can't make them change their bad attitude. And just like Paul didn't look to the philosophers to do the work that needs to be done in people's hearts and lives and rely on their wisdom to do what God had to do, neither should mothers rely on the wisdom of the world and other people to do the work that God has to do. You know, reading 50 books on motherhood won't change your child's soul. Implementing the strategies of Mrs. I've raised 20 children and they're all missionaries, and so if you do what I do, well, then your children will work out fine as well, won't work either. No program, no super nanny, no Dr. Phil will change your child's heart. Only God can do that. You need a miracle to take place in their soul, and only God can do miracles. Please understand, mums, you can't do that. You can't do that miracle in your child's heart. Sometimes I think a lot of the frustrations of mothers is they try to do the work that only God can do. And then they feel like a failure because they haven't been able to do it when you're never going to be able to do it. The only way that this miracle will take place in your child will happen the same way that it happened with Paul when he sought to have miracles take place in those he ministered to, and that is by divine action, God doing a work. And how do you bring that apart to pass? Well, we know with the Apostle Paul, it began with prayer. You read the epistles of Paul. He prayed night and day for those who God had placed in his care, and he pleaded with the God of heaven to do a work in them. He acknowledged that he needed God to be doing something. It wasn't going to happen through Paul's efforts or Paul's wisdom or ability or how beautiful he spoke and how lovely he was or how clever he seemed. It was only going to happen if God did a work, and so he prayed earnestly for that. As Psalm 127 says in verse 1, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that built it." And I have no doubt that every mother who is watching today do their very best for their children. But understand that all the work you do cannot replace the work that God has to do in your child's heart. And if God is not doing a work in your child's heart, well then all the other things you do will not help one iota. And so how often do you pray to the Lord to do his work in your child's soul? How often do you plead with him to do that work that only he can do? And plead with him to show himself mighty, even though you feel weak and feel foolish and feel unimportant. Now, that's, do you acknowledge that you need God to do that work? You know, I'm not proud to admit this, but, you know, I was a very rebellious teenager, and it wasn't until I was 19 that my whole attitude towards life and towards the Lord changed. And if you were to ask me, what was it that changed you? I can tell you very easily, it was God working in my heart. He constantly convicted me of my attitude and my sin. He wore me down. He brought circumstances that brought me to a place where I knew I needed him. It was God who did it. But I was very mindful that I also had a mother and father that earnestly prayed that God would bring this to pass in my life. But one thing you can be very sure of, it wasn't mum's naggings and guilt trips or angry looks that made the difference. You know, when my mum used to do that to me, it just made me even more stubborn and more angry when she gave me little twerps and little guilt trips and nagged. And I found it interesting now that I look back, it wasn't until I left home and mum could have no influence on the nagging and the guilt trips, that's when God did a work. Maybe God was showing her, you need to let me do this, Edith. But when I was there by myself, away from mum, God really worked in my heart. And mums, you can nag, manipulate, give a guilt trip, or anything else within your power to try and get your child to seek the Lord. But the best solution is to get before the God of heaven and plead before his throne on their behalf. Plead that he will convict them. Plead that he will chasten them and do what it takes to change them to start seeking and following him. So just as Paul, every mother needs God's power far more than worldly wisdom. Now the next point follows from this, and that is they not only need... What did I say? Where you need God's power, not man's wisdom. But your children need to see Christ. Paul knew for God to do a work, he still had a part to play. He couldn't just lock himself up in one room in the world and just pray for everyone in the world. God had called him to go and speak, and he understood that it was when they heard and believed the gospel, God could change their heart. And we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2, he says, "For I determined not to know anything among you, say Jesus Christ and him crucified." That was the key message. He wanted them to know that Jesus had died for their sin. And if you go on, you read that he understood that they needed to the wisdom that came from God and his word. Verse 7, "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory." Verse 13, "Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." Now, I don't have time to explain to you these verses fully, but basically Paul is saying that what the believers at Corinth needed was not the wisdom and the philosophy of the world, but they needed to hear the word of God. They needed to hear of Christ and see Christ. They needed God's wisdom. They needed to know God himself. And so that's what he endeavored to do, present Christ and God and knowing him to the people. And if God is going to do a work in your children's heart, mums, they need to hear about Christ from you, and they need to see Christ in you. Words are necessary, but they need to be backed by actions. Otherwise, they will seem very shallow. And so when you are feeling weak and you're feeling foolish and base, say, God, can you please do a miracle? And despite how I feel, let them still see Christ in me somehow. Do that miracle. That's what they really need to see. And what I'm about to tell you isn't very deep or mind-blowing, and it's something that you've heard plenty of times before, but it doesn't make it any less important. That is, mums, your children must see Christ in you. And this can't be manufactured by reading books on motherhood. In fact, it can only come about by reading the book and spending time with God and allowing him to change you. Some mums spend all their time trying to be a good mother when what is really needed is a closer walk with the Lord. And for husbands, if you want to help your wife be that godly mother that she needs to be, well then can I encourage you to make sure that they do get time to spend with the Lord. And if they don't get the time during the day because life is so hectic, when you get home, make it a point to look after the children so your wife can go off and spend some time just with the Lord so that she can have the Lord filling her soul so she can reflect Christ in them. Because the biggest help a mother can be to her children is to find time to be with Christ so that she can reflect him. Where God can do his work in her first, and then with his power, take her when she's weak and show his strength. Take it when she feels foolish and do wise and wonderful things. And that only comes from spending time with the Lord. You know, my mum has passed away quite a few years ago now, and I tell you, I still miss her. Sometimes I think I'll ring mum and say hello, and I realise she's passed away for so long. But if I had my chance again, even though I did it when she was alive, I would thank her for being the testimony she was. But I want you to know, and this will be good for you to hear, mums, she was certainly not perfect. I still have memories of saying to Dad, why is Mum so angry? It's like I can't do anything right. No matter what I do, she's always upset with me. And then I remember Dad saying, well, Alan, mums get like that every now and then. That's just what they do, if you get my drift, right? But despite how fleshly her actions are at times, in various periods of time, there was no mistaking that Christ was in her. Christ is selfless, and I know my mum was selfless. She always put us before herself, even when she felt so weak and helpless. Christ was a servant. And I know mum would say to me, Alan, I'm not your slave, but the reality is she served like Christ. Christ is caring, and my mum was very caring. I had a lot of issues when I was young, and I can't go into all of them, but I had very severe ADHD, and that brought about a lot of complications and a lot of things. And I know there were hundreds of nights where my mum would put a little fold-out bed next to hers and let me sleep next to it, and she'd have to hold my hand all night because I was just full of terror and fear of the dark. And she would hold my hand all night, and she did that for hundreds of nights. And that's just one thing. And if you have children with special needs, understand that in your weakness and your hardness, you can show Christ and his love and care in ways that you wouldn't have been able to show your children unless they had these special needs. And I had a lot of needs, and I got to see the care of my mother. But I'll tell you what, all throughout that, if you'd asked her, do you feel godly, Edith? She wouldn't have felt very godly at all. She wouldn't have felt Christ-like. She would have felt weak and tired and confused and all those things. But I could see Christ in her. And as you get older, you can comprehend it even more. And mothers, to be Christ-like so your children see Christ in you can only come from a work of God as you spend time with him. So can I encourage you to do that? And to finish off, let me put this to you. That when it comes to being a mother, success is ultimately doing what God wants. Was Paul a successful evangelist? Well, you know, it depends on who you talk to. If you talk to the philosophers of those days, they would have said, well, no. Look at him. He trembles when he speaks. He stutters. He doesn't really know what he's doing. He's not a very good orator at all. No, he's not very successful. If you look at those observing from a distance, most of them would say, no, look, most of them get angry and they want to kill him. What sort of successful preacher is he? There were even believers would say, well, Paul, he's not much of an apostle. Look at the churches that he's established. They're a mess. Look at Corinth. And he's the one that established that. He's not very successful at all. But if you would ask God, God would say, yes, he was successful. Why? Because even under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he was able to say, I have fought a good fight. And I have kept the faith. He was faithful to the end. And what makes a successful mother? Is it that all her children get saved and love the Lord? Well, no, that doesn't make a successful mother. That just makes a happy mother. Is success 50% of them love the Lord and 50% don't? No, that just makes a mother who's happy at times and sad at times. But that has no bearing on her success as well as a mother. It is a mother who walks humbly with her God who is successful. How you respond, how your children respond as you walk humbly to the Lord is up to them. And my encouragement to every mother is God wants you to have a close relationship with him. And as he does that miraculous work in you, and only he can do that, nothing else can do that, he will make you Christ-like. So that you can be the best mother that you could possibly be. And that is being a successful mother. Sometimes mothers get things back to front. They think, I don't have time for the Lord because I'm too busy trying to be a good mum. And that's back to front. I need to spend time with the Lord because I have no hope of being a good mum otherwise. Because I need God to do his work. I want him taking me when I'm weak, when I'm foolish, when I'm base, and prove his glory and greatness in and through me. Paul knew this, and he didn't make the mistake. He wanted Christ in him. And each mother should know that this attitude is what's important as well. So can I encourage you, mums, seek Christ. Seek to reflect him. Pray for your children, beg God to do his work in them, and don't try and do God's work. Let him do that. And so, that's about all I've really got to say on that. I should finish in a nice way, but I'm not sure how to finish that. But I trust that that's an encouragement to you. And if you're not a mum, take it. If you feel weak, base, foolish, in whatever circumstance you're facing at the moment, also be encouraged that if you seek Christ, he will take that and he will do great things despite how you feel. And so thank you. Let's close with a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you that, Lord, we cannot live the life that you have called us to do in our own strength. Help us to realize that and come to accept that. And it doesn't matter if it's to be a preacher, a missionary, a father, a mother, a child, just someone who works in the community, whatever it may be. We cannot be what you want us to be in our own strength. Help us to not be foolish and try and do it in that our own strength, but seek you. And then, Lord, please take and use us for your glory's sake so that we can look back and give you praise that somehow, beyond our understanding, you were able to get us through those dark, hard times and even do great things in and through us, which we cannot understand. I pray for this now in Jesus' name. Amen.